is coming forward to preach the word of God.
Good morning. Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations in all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. First scripture reading is from Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. It can be found on pages 145 and 146 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible, and also on the screen, I hope. Our granddaughter Jennifer, who this church sponsored on a missionary trip around the world last year, knows how to pray. Jennifer knew how to pray when she was a little girl, a real little girl. One afternoon at a family gathering, she asked if she could say the blessing for our lunch. She asked her dad, and he kind of looked at her and said, "Well, okay, but if you need help, just let us know." Jenny didn't need any help. In the soft, sweet voice of a child, with authority and conviction, she left the adults in that room speechless. She wasn't loud. She wasn't timid. She was thoughtful and refreshing. She quickly got to the point, said what was needed to be said, and did it in a way that she and all of us understood. With the soft voice of a child, she made her thoughts and wishes known to God. Her words, soft and musical, were rising to heaven like hands and incense at a Sunday evening service. And that is how Jesus wants us to pray. He wants us to quietly praise, to honor, and to petition Him. What He doesn't want is for us to be loud, flashy, and prideful. In fact, He gave us specific instructions on how to talk with God. In Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8, which is on page 5 in the New Testament, "And whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." A month or so ago, when Pastor Kim asked me to preach today, I asked if there was any subject that she didn't want me to talk about. She said, "Pick anything you want." Gave it a lot of thought, a lot of prayer, and chose the easy way out. Chose to talk about quiet prayer. My friends here at the church know that I'm the guy who seldom says too much. And most of you have only heard me pray while I'm here in the pulpit. I tend to sit back in church meetings and quietly let others carry the burden of the conversation. That is just who I am. My quiet demeanor is a gift from both my heavenly fathers and my heavenly father. My biological father, who I'm named after, was in fact quieter than I am. I don't recall him ever raising his voice more than a few times in his entire life. Charlie Brown, my foster father, was quieter still. My own children, and Cleva would tell you the same about me. Cleva might even tell you that I'm quiet to a fault. My fathers knew, and I know, that there are much better ways to get your point across than raising a ruckus or your voice. Unlike me and my Heavenly Fathers, our Heavenly Father has been known to speak in voices of thunder and lightning, pillars of fire, and even from a burning bush. He is also known to speak in that still small voice, as he did to Elijah when the people of Israel needed to be turned away from idol worship and back to God. Elijah looked for God in the noise of an earthquake, in the noise of a windstorm, and in a large fire. He didn't find God in any of those places or in that noise. Where Elijah found him was in the quiet afterwards, in the still of the night, or maybe it was in the quietness of a long, sun-drenched afternoon. It was when Elijah was alone, listening and receptive, that God spoke to him. We live in a boisterous and noisy, busy world. How can we, in the hustle and bustle of this noisy world, ever hear God's still small voice? How many of us, while sitting in our cars at one of those 10-minute traffic lights, have ever felt our bodies vibrate as a car with the bass turned way up stops beside us? Noise is so loud that you actually feel it before you hear it. I cringe when I hear that noise because I know what is going on with the ears of the people in those cars. I spent 36 years working in a loud automobile factory and 4 years in the gun mount of a U.S. Navy destroyer. I know noise and I know how to deal with noise. I love my hearing aids. Because when it gets too loud, they come out. Blessed, blessed quiet. Are we really the same as those folks in the cars? I think that we probably are. We may be not be quite as loud, but what is the first thing we do when we get in our cars? Turn on the radio or slip in a CD? Actually, what we do here in Florida is turn that air conditioner on, make sure it's good and cold first. Then we turn on the noise. When we walk into our home, what do? We turn on the TV, the stereo, or tell Alexa to play some of that funky 60s music. And most of the time, we don't even pay attention to that. We turn it on because we can't stand the quiet. The fact is, we live in an ever, ever noisier world. And we are the ones making it noisier. When Cleveland and I lived in Michigan, we lived about a half a mile north of Interstate 94. The first thing we did that we heard when we stepped outside the house was the noise of the traffic on the freeway. That is, of course, unless there happened to be a jet taking off over at Willow Run Airport, which is right across the street. We also lived about an equal distance between two railroads. On rainy, foggy days when the air was thick and heavy and sound traveled far, it often sounded as though there were trains running through our yard. Day and night, there were noises in our world, all around us. Some of the noises we heard weren't necessarily bad or ugly. On summer afternoons and evenings, we heard the sounds of children playing baseball and softball in the Little League fields next to the airport. In the spring and early summer, we would go to sleep listening to the frogs and crickets singing their nightly songs, their voices raised in a loud yet soothing sound right outside our open bedroom windows. We woke each morning to the sounds of birds greeting each other and welcoming the new day. There's noise all around us, clamoring, loud, obnoxious, rude noise inundates us. At times it seems that we make noise just for the sake of making noise. Angry noise, happy noise, and on Sunday mornings here, we hear a joyful noise. I want each of you to bow your head and sit quietly and close your eyes and listen to the stillness of God's house. We have become so used to noise and movement that just a few moments of almost silence seems to drag on and on. Doesn't take long to get restless, does it? Personal, quiet prayer is a gift that God has given each one of us. And it can take on many forms. I find myself praying at all times of the day and night. I can be walking on one of the streets here in town, and all of a sudden, I notice that I am singing to myself the last anthem that Joyful Noise sang, or one of the hymns we sang last Sunday. That is quiet prayer. I'm not singing loudly or so that anyone else can hear me. I am talking with my God. I don't hear the noise of traffic and people as I go off to that place of quiet that is within me. That is quiet prayer. When I am sitting in my front room reading, I find myself tuning out the noise of the traffic on Matheson Avenue. That is quiet prayer. When I lie in bed at 3 a.m. unable to sleep because I'm worrying about things I have no control over, I talk with God. That is quiet prayer. When I am preparing a message such as this, I find that quietly asking God for discernment makes things a bit easier as I try and figure out just where I want to go with what I want to say. That is quiet prayer. Sometimes, as I try to pray, the words just won't come. That's when I take out my United Methodist hymnal. It is one of the best sources of prayer that I have ever found. Every hymn is a prayer waiting to be prayed. You don't have to sing them aloud. Just read them and reflect on what you are reading. That is quiet prayer. Alone with your thoughts and in the quiet of your home is a good place to pray. However, it is most certainly not the only place to pray. We have a powerful prayer group right here in this church. They meet twice weekly and take prayer requests from all over the country. If you're not comfortable about praying aloud, they will sit quietly with you and support you as you pray silently. As we sit to eat in a restaurant or at home, we should take an attitude of prayer and quietly offer our praise and thanksgiving to God. In the car, traveling, be it here in town or while on vacation, we should keep an open, quiet dialogue with God. I have some very candid and spirit conversations with God as I walk and drive through the neighborhoods of this beautiful city. Notice that I didn't say we should pray loudly or bring attention to ourselves. We don't have to be loud or obvious about what we are doing or even let anyone know that we are praying. God knows what we are talking about and what we are thinking about. And after all, it's only God who matters. We know that it isn't easy to tune out the distractions and noise of a busy day. It takes dedication and hard work. With perseverance, we can learn to pray quietly anywhere. We don't always have to use our mouths to do our talking. We don't have to be alone to be alone with God. We don't have to be alone to pray to God. And we don't have to speak aloud to be heard by God. What we do have to do is have a willingness to listen and open our minds and our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it seems that we're not hearing that voice. It seems like we're being ignored. What we are expecting is a pat yes or no answer. And that's not necessarily how God works. Yes, sometimes He lets us know, bang, right now, exactly what He wants us to do or where He wants us to go. And sometimes His answer is silence. The silence may be His way of telling us that we need to wait, that things aren't quite right for what we think that we want. Sometimes the silence means no. Sooner or later, sometimes much later, we will know the answers to our prayer. What we must do is close our minds and hearts to the numbing noise and busyness of the world around us, keep praying, keep listening, and above all, we must be quiet and know that God is listening. I want you to take a few moments, raise your silent prayers to our God. Assume an attitude of prayer, whatever that may be. It doesn't matter whether you bow your head, close your eyes, or if you clasp your hands together. What matters is that you give all your attention to praising and thanking and asking God for guidance. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for being here with us this morning as we gather together to worship and praise you. Thank you for being with us as we gaze in wonder at a beautiful sunrise or sunset. Thank you for listening, even when what we ask for isn't in our own best interest. Thank you for saying no. And most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I don't know.